Oh, did you guys see Lego Breaking Bad?
Yes. I saw that yesterday.
It's just completely remade.
It's not a real game.
But they created it so it looks like a Lego
video game.
Like the Lego games.
Batman, Lego Harry Potter. But
with, it's Breaking Bad.
But with Breaking Bad.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And it goes through the character selection screen, and it shows all of them, and it shows, what was it, Zombie Gus?
Yeah.
And so Zombie Gus is half of his face is melted off. Spoiler alert.
No, that's just Zombie Gus in the show. So, that's all.
Wait, there's Zombie Gus in the show?
You haven't seen that far?
Yes. I haven't seen
season 5.
You gotta...
Gus comes back as a zombie?
Shh!
No, it's not a zombie.
Stop with this spoiler stuff.
Okay,
We're not gonna talk about it.
Are we
going to
start a normal
podcast?
No, that was my attempt at.
No, but no, the thing that's hilarious. My favorite at the very end is when you can choose to cook or not cook.
Oh yes.
After they assemble the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you get the option of press A to cook, press B to go out to the desert, and they decide to cook, and then you watch all the time go by, and they come out, and there's this bright, crisp, like clear brick.
Yeah, just one big fat
and it just like goes up in the air and like gives you a ton of points. And it goes to both sides and it's the end.
And it's, like, it's your meth kingpin or drug.
Yeah, it says meth kingpin. Oh gosh, it was hilarious.
So was like really that sounds like the greatest summer project.
Is making a Lego Breaking Bad game?
It doesn't have to be Lego. Oh. A Breaking Bad game needs to happen. Just a simple iPhone game. Super easy to make.
How do you do that?
How do you get rights to that?
Like, that's like, I'll do it.
It's not possible. That thing would never go through.
How long would it take before?
I don't know. Did you see the really terrible Walking Dead game?
No, I haven't.
It's terrible. First person shooters.
Oh, yeah, yes, the new one.
Oh, so bad.
Oh, just like the last couple weeks?
Yeah.
The Walking Dead, the adventure game was fantastic.
It's not made by Telltales at all.
Yeah, there's an FPS. And it's...
Here's something Randy I can talk about.
Yeah.
The new Tiny Tina DLC got released.
Shut
or not released, got announced. June 25th.
Tiny Tina's
Assault on Dragon Keep.
Comes out.
Isn't that great? I was so excited. But it's not in the season pass. It's new. It's outside of it.
Is it?
Well, they've already done four.
Borderlands 2.
You know, so
the fourth one?
There was Torg. There was
Torg,
the...
Scarlet.
The hunting one.
Torg's hunting and harlot.
Uh huh. And then
the new guy.
That wasn't in there either. It's the other one. There was one more.
How many DLCs have they had?
Four.
They said
four plus a new character. But four plus two new characters.
That's awesome.
And
what's the second new character?
It's
almost a year.
It's not a whole year yet. What do they call it? He's a badass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's gonna be a brick.
Yeah.
He's released. He's out.
Yeah.
He's a psycho. He's not a brick.
Oh, he's a psycho?
He's a psycho.
Why have I not played him yet?
He's not season pass. You have to go buy it.
I spent $49 on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But the season pass, for an entire year worth of DLC for $50?
$50?
So, okay. Let me give a confession. Here, bring a chair, dude. Come on in. Bring it. So, like...
You did come on a special deal.
Yeah, here's Jake.
Yeah, I didn't get the...
As a confession, I spent $200 on Borderlands.
So far. Because you did it for PC.
I bought it for Xbox first. Okay. And I bought the season pass.
Controller on a PC.
You can.
Wait a second.
We do.
But here we go. I didn't have access to a PC when I pre-ordered it, right? I pre-ordered it. I mean, I had the one down in the South Lab. I pre-ordered this a long time ago. As soon as it was announced. It was I want Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
And, what you call it? I didn't think I'd have access to a PC the way I did here. And I was like, oh, I have a controller. Oh, I have a PC that has 16, gigs of RAM. You know, I was like, awesome. My home PC cannot handle Borderlands at all. Like, not even close.
Your home PC can't handle,
It can't even do League. I can't even do League well. It does, all low settings League. It's pretty bad.
Okay, so for the noobs, a couple of your noobs, Confessions of Game Dev, new theme of
Confessions. Oh, we're going to try this out.
Everyone has to confess one thing. So he just confessed that he's excited about Tiny Tina. I'm going to confess that my computer barely runs League. It's a 2009 MacBook Pro. And I've been excited since they came out with the Mac version, right? And I put it on there, put those settings on low, and I couldn't get my mouse to work. And so I'm playing the new map a couple times, and I'm using a touchpad, which for that game, that is the worst thing you could possibly do, right? The clicks per minute
choice.
And all that stuff. And I'm sitting there, trying to navigate this player, and I'm like, and every time we get into a team fight, my frames like drop down to like 5 or 3. Like I'm just skipping across the screen, and I was just like, I'm so gonna die. We won the game. And they said I carried the team as the tank because I did. Like I was healing everyone's faces. I never died. I was in the middle of every fight. I was doing everything I needed to, but just really, really slowly. And we still won the game.
That's fine.
So I wish I could play League better on that computer, but it was a fun experiment.
Oh my goodness!
So. All right. Well, welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. We've got a special guest joining us today. I did it right again.
Yeah.
Hey,
nailed it.
Usually I can't describe that properly. And
eventually, we're going to get to the point he's not going to be surprised every time.
I don't think so.
He's going to be like, I did it.
So today we're going to go around the room and we'll introduce everyone. This is Spencer Buchanan.
This is Isaac Wood.
This is Karate.
Jake Mealy.
And I'm Tyler Wright.
Tyler Wright is coming
what?
To
one of those things is not
to
like the
legislate
other.
Us and litigate us and all those other lawyerly words that I don't know of. Right?
Spencer seems to think I have some lawyer in me, but I don't have any lawyer in me.
I thought you were like a lawyer or something.
No.
I'm so disappointed.
I have a good friend who got all the way through, well, not all the way through, but he got a good way through law school and dropped out to become a developer. And he will never, ever give me any legal advice because he says that unless he's a lawyer, unless he's a registered lawyer, whatever they call it.
In the bar?
Unless he passes the bar?
Not just passes the bar, but like
practicing.
License, yeah. License, that's it. That he is legally
right?
not allowed to give any advice.
Yes. Okay.
So
$34.
If I had done any real lawyering work, I probably never
really
done
like pizza.
Anything legal. Anyways.
Fine.
I can go home now.
I probably first, you don't show up with the Oculus Rift.
Oh no!
It's true. I dog him.
What? Okay, so let's learn about Tyler.
Let's learn about Tyler anyway. Yeah. We like having new people on the podcast. Yeah. Regardless,
let's learn about Tyler Wright.
Also, we're going to question Spencer on his research skills.
Yeah, I swore at one point you told me you were a lawyer. You show up to a meeting with a suit on. I mean, an IGDA meeting.
Is like being that. A lawyer really anything else than showing up with a suit on? Like, really?
I thought he was a lawyer!
He said a word I didn't understand. He was wearing
now,
a suit.
I don't
it had at least three syllables in it.
I may have had a button-up shirt that I had my sleeves rolled up.
Oh, that's basically a suit.
Oh, no. You're
was there actually a tie?
Your sleeves were not rolled up.
Was there a tie on there?
Let's put a pin
So, anyhow. Yeah, I'm not legal at all, but I did respond to
the IP discussion.
It was about what is it called? Copyright and patents.
Yeah,
and I have a patent. I have a patent filed on my name. So,
ooh, what is your patent for?
It is for I'm trying to remember the name of it. Atomic Music Segment, something or other. Fancy name for we made online sheet music, and we try to find something patentable about it.
Interesting.
So the process, though, taught me that patents aren't evil catch-alls that, I thought of, you know, baking a pie once, and so anyone who ever bakes a pie will owe me lots of money. It has to be very unique, and the patent has to be very specific on the unique part of your invention. So just because we have a patent on online sheet music doesn't actually mean that people can't build online sheet music. You have to read the patent and find out what are all the patentable inventions that are part of that would have to all be in place in order for you to infringe on the patent. So it actually can be very specific.
Yeah.
Usually it's very specific.
Well, and I got to work with this entrepreneur this year that he's bought and sold about $500 million in companies over 20 years, and he's like, and we were sitting there going, oh, I don't know, this may be just exactly like someone else's patent. He's like, yeah, what are all the other elements? He's like, even if you're infringing on the patent, the fact that you have all these other things, or questionably infringing, if what everything else is wrapped around it can kind of mask or basically detract from the problem of...
It makes it unique on its own.
It makes it unique enough, even if it looks almost identical.
The discussion
in one aspect.
I remember now the discussion online was not patents; it was open source.
That's
so,
right.
So my background is software development. I started out in school doing graphic design. I thought I was going to be an artist, an illustrator. That's what I'd still like to aspire to be one day. And I thought it'd be clever to put myself through school in web design. And took on an internship and started programming. And all the other programmers thought that I was an idiot. The design intern was trying to get programming. But it stuck, and I have been programming for 10 years ever since and contributed to open source on several different projects. Ran several a couple of open source projects that never quite got off the ground. Well, they did. They did in their own right, but I never stuck with them. So it takes a lot of work to maintain something ongoing.
Sure.
And yeah, so what I learned through that process and kind of what I posted online was that open source is not giving away your work and your copyright for free. You maintain copyright.
Right.
And open source licenses allow other people to use that. Usually, almost every one of the licenses with accreditation, you have to cite where you got the work from.
Yeah. Well, and that, and what was interesting about that discussion was
open source is essentially students writing papers and citing where they where it all comes from.
No.
Okay, so open source code is letting other people actually use your work in their work.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when I write a paper, I quote somebody, I throw all their work inside of my stuff, and then I add my stuff around it. Right. That's a paper. At least the way it should be.
It's like you're borrowing a tool. Someone made a tool, and you go, hey, I'm going to use this for this one thing. Oh, and this is the guy that made this part.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the difference is a paper is useless unless it's published.
Right.
It's open. Code, though, is very valuable when it's proprietary and closed source or when it's open. And so it's become, I mean, in the early years, my dad was a programmer for WordPerfect. Okay. And very top security around everything that's done. And still today, I know Microsoft and many other software companies have very high security around certain elements. Google, I'm sure, has very high security around their searching, their search engine, yes, algorithms and things, which is their bread and butter. So, well, anyway, that was probably a false statement. But anyhow.
Advertising's probably their bread and
butter. Yeah. it's what makes them very, very unique. So, the concept of open source, of publishing your papers, is not a required one for the world to be able to enjoy the software.
Sure.
And it's, you know, this big, it's always been this big battle between, or debate between, am I going to be less or more profitable having something given away for free, open source? And for a developer who usually isn't the big moneymaker in the stakes, they want their stuff out there because they want other developers to benefit from the same things they
learned.
Sure. Well, and that whole conversation stemmed from someone saying, hey, check it out. The Boy Scouts are doing a game design merit badge.
And so awesome.
Yeah, super cool. And did you hear that?
And the Girl Scouts.
The Girl Scouts stepped it up. They're like, screw that. Screw game design. We're doing video game development. And
yeah, so this is not just
it's not just game design.
Board games or sports. This is, yeah.
Which I think there's advantages to both, but... there's like 6 or 7 points of curriculum, and one of them was understanding the difference between open source and for the Boy Scouts, and one of the terms they had to know was open source
and IP.
IP.
Intellectual property.
Yeah, and some people are like, I don't think the Boy Scouts need to be learning that. And I was
intellectual property's rubbish.
You do if you're going to be living in this age.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a welcome discussion.
If you don't want someone to come and move into your house and live on your couch or kick you out of, I mean, it's a similar thing. It's claiming ownership. It's not necessarily saying that I have this is proprietary and I'm never going to share this. You can right. share or not share, but to understand that is an essential part of being in the industry.
It's well, just absolutely. It's super important.
In several industries.
Yeah, I can. So a guy has made a game called Super Mario Crossover. You guys played this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesomest game ever. He just announced a trailer for Super Mario Crossover 3 that is mind-blowing. I mean, it is... I loved it. I can't describe
Did
it.
Did he sell that? I can't remember.
No, so that's the trick, is he can't, right? Yeah.
But it's a parody work.
It's parody work, and so it's only ever been free, but everyone knows about this guy now. He ran a Kickstarter, which was hugely successful, called something, something, something Crossover, and it's all the characters, but not. Right? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, but they're all his original IP, but it's using all the mechanics of this. Here's the simple platformer, but here's all these other characters that have completely random mechanics that are not akin to this platformer, but they're going to be in the platformer. And so this next one, I was very interested that he came out with yet another Super Mario Crossover 3 with the same premise, but he, again, can't make any money directly off of it. But
is that something that can actually be released publicly?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a parody work. It should be fine.
It's parody. Okay, I don't know about the law.
Does that fall in the same category as fan art and whatnot?
Kind of.
That's
it's a derivative work off of something else, but it's not necessarily for sale. I don't know if it's a matter of a legal thing. I think it's a matter of, as long as Nintendo doesn't say anything, especially for a certain amount of time, they lose kind of their ability to complain about it.
Yeah.
You do have to be consistent in enforcing your...
And if it's the third game and he hasn't said anything, he's got plenty of precedence to...
Oh, that's not true at all. Like, Square Enix did that with the Chrono Trigger.
I remember.
When they were all... Like, they had been working on a two-year project, and, like, the week before they were about to release it, Square Enix dropped the hammer and said...
But they had never released anything before that, I thought.
I guess that's true.
Well, that's the difference between a parody, though.
That also is true. It's
parody is a big deal.
Off of Chrono Trigger.
I mean, you're allowed to make a parody movie and make a parody of a person.
Otherwise, PETA would be in trouble several times over already. You know what I'm saying?
There's actually a guy that has been making... I got to imagine he's making money off of it by now somehow, but he's made a game called Pokemon Tower Defense.
Yeah, I remember.
And it's been around, and I have him in my Google Reader feed, and he still updates weekly with a developer blog saying updates that he's doing to this, and it's gotten huge. And I'm just thinking, how the heck is Nintendo not
now,
done anything?
Now this is an interesting point. Not to call Nintendo stupid or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
But it's overall, it's very interesting to me how out of touch Nintendo seems to be overall about these kind of things. Maybe they're not paying attention. Maybe they're not licensing their IP. I mean, okay, so it'd be akin to Disney trying to lock down every instance of the use of Mickey Mouse across the internet. You know, it's just it's an absurdly huge task and wouldn't be worth it.
Well, and there's a certain distinction between mention of versus someone makes a game that is hugely successful.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's what was funny is with the first time I heard about it, it got on the Google Play Store. Google, before it was even called the Play Store. And it got taken out. And it got uploaded again as PTD, so that it was like totally code, no one was supposed to know about it. And Nintendo was the one that asked them to remove it from the Play Store. And they tried to put it up a third time, and like there was so much kind of like just, you know, funny things about it that the Android news people were talking about it. And it got to the point where they realized that this guy had a million hits within a month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was not a small fish kind of thing. And it's grown since then. That it's now only Flash and it's only online, but...
Well, if you can get the news to be talking about it,
that's worth it.
And you would, but you would think, that's where you're gonna get your attention. How like Nintendo said, no, not on the Play Store, but they're totally fine with it being all over the place.
I think it's because it's not something they want to do.
Yeah.
It's not a medium that they utilize. I mean,
it's a platform they haven't touched yet. It's
a platform. Is their first, like, let's try doing online. You know, it's been almost 10 years since, you know, the Xbox came out, so maybe we should try this online thing. Let's try it out.
I know. Let's put an E in front of store.
Brilliant! You get a raise.
I keep seeing this E on my desktop. Is that popular?
Those Apple guys got an I thing. And
it happens everywhere, though. You have a company that they look at something and they say, "Oh, that's never going to catch on. That's it's a fad. It's a passing fad. The iPhone is a passing fad."
Yeah.
The internet.
Those consoles are
It's
just,
for websites. It's
consoles
not for games.
Are dead.
Consoles are dead. We heard that last year.
That people are still predicting that they're going to go away, but
I think they will. I think they're just going to change.
We're getting Ouyas and we're getting
Ouya, PS4, Xbox.
Rifts aren't something you can plug into your website, right?
No. Why not?
WebGL, baby.
WebGL.
Head Mountain Display WebGL.
Yeah, so, well, and I was kind of sad because Tyler has an Oculus Rift.
Really?
That he got from backing.
Awesome.
And so he's been toying around with it, and there's been some conversations in the IGDA email threads. But yeah, and yet he
I'm gonna kick you out and bring that guy on.
He totally loses it and forgets it in Texas or something.
Yeah,
to bring it.
Your Oculus in Texas.
So the story is, I'm a full time consultant, freelance, and okay.
But not a lawyer.
Not a lawyer,
right?
Software developer. I program, and so I did a. I've been doing a project with a company down there called Dado. Awesome group. Really cool work that they're doing. If you have a chance, look at Dado DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and
D-A-D-O?
D-E-D-O is touch in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
So the company Dado and DFW is the project that we did most recently, and there's a video on YouTube and Vimeo, but same video that shows the project we did recently. It was Unreal Development Kit, UDK, the Epic's Unreal Engine. And it was training for firefighters for the aircraft, for the airports.
Cool. Ooh.
So they can go in and, like, interactively inspect the aircraft and the airports and things. So it's really cool, particularly for a non-game purpose, an industry that doesn't usually get cool tech like that.
Yeah.
So I was out there this last week getting ramped up on another project. And they found out that I didn't bring my Oculus. How dare me? And so they had me overnight ship it. They had my wife at home overnight ship it out. And then they were supposed to ship it back. They didn't ship it till today after I got on them.
For that. Right. So. I'm sure they actually shipped it. They're like, oh, I don't know where it was.
It was under my desk.
We're playing TF2, don't
No, they actually finally got their rifts today or this last week, so they That's don't funny. Need mine anymore.
Yeah, I actually talked to some Unity guys last year, and they said, we've got a guy or a group that are making crazy train simulations for managing train routes and train tracks and stuff. And another customer that they're creating simulations of grocery stores, and so they can plant stuff, and so it's like three walls of projected screens, and they're all within Unity that they're projecting food, and they go, okay, well, let's move the chips up one extra aisle and have people testing, walking through this imaginary aisle, and they go, oh, people are responding to chips, let's move the chips up here, because that, you know, they're able to simulate aisles and where the food is all going.
Wow.
And they're just like, yeah, I mean, it's a game engine, but it totally works for what they're trying to do at the same time. So
that's awesome. That's
cool. Yeah, it's neat. It would be,
games are trickling more and more into everyday applications. It's just been a matter of the, I think, the software getting on that level, the distribution, and it's cheaper now. You can build a game, especially in Unity, for a reasonable amount of money, and then use it for some business purpose that wouldn't normally bring in, you know, $50 million on a hit like Call of Duty or something.
True. So, what have you been working on, or how long, I guess, have you been freelance? What have you done previously?
I did application development on the web, so with Flash stuff like this online, I just use it and other things similar to that. Online scrapbooking. I've done tools for that, which is
that's a TV robot.
It's been
actually worked for a photographer store that we sold classes on how to envy these whole packages of templates over Photoshop. Awesome. Back in the day, pre-web stuff, when the internet wasn't as usable as it is now. And we were teaching people how to digitally scrapbook. It was... That's terrible.
This stuff has been really well designed in the age of UX and usability and online technologies that actually have the horsepower to do some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So in Flash built applications, we've been able to have some really cool creative tools that these companies have done very well with. So so that's kind of been my traditional background. I've always been. I guess my untraditional background, rather, but that's been my background, and it's always been my the things I love, my joys have always been more on the graphics side and the front end, and every once in a while I get involved in a database conversation with my twin brother. I have a twin brother who's a programmer as well.
He's not a lawyer.
He's not a lawyer either.
I swear there was someone that's a lawyer. All right.
Crazy man.
Yeah.
That was almost an out for you there, Spencer.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
So
yeah, that must have been your twin brother.
I'm an evil twin. He's a lawyer.
Right.
But for me, it's always been about the graphics and the performance and the usability, the nice tight feedback and whatnot.
Nice.
And so since then, I've done a wide gamut of different work, a lot of enterprise work and flex and things, and it's never been really satisfying. The paychecks are more satisfying, but the end product, the result, where things are a little clunky, a little slower, features are, I mean, some things that sometimes our clients love, mm-hmm. are really frustrating to me. And so when Flash decided to be dead finally, a year ago or something. It's still around. It's still
decided to be dead.
And the game I'm building right now is in Flash.
Still use it.
That's right. No, I'm still even using Flash for games. But Adobe announced, and you know, Adobe had this huge layoff and gave up the Flex framework, their enterprise development platform, to open source, and announced Flash would no longer be supported on mobile all in the same week. And so that was kind of a big bat symbol in the clouds that something else was needed, that Flash was kind of on its way out. So, and it's still around, but even Unity announced recently that they're no longer going to be supporting the export to Flash.
Wow. Oh, you're kidding. Because that was a big deal for putting that in the
It was before. A big deal, but they cited, I think, the three reasons, if I can recall, was that Adobe is not showing that they're not showing, providing much confidence, because they introduced this revenue model and then they pulled back from it and said no longer, you know, it's no longer going to be our model. There was a couple other reasons that they just found. Oh, one of the reasons is that Unity Player, the plugin, mm-hmm. is actually up to 30% on Facebook of people who have it installed on their computers. So Facebook users, I know that 30% have Unity installed. I don't know if that's 30% of Facebook gamers or if it's all users or whatnot. So that may vary.
Really interesting. Well, and we've got a game that we're doing for the iOS and just got it published, and then there was talk of doing one as a web app at one point.
May I ask what the game is and what you use for the platform?
No. Yes. It's a Unity. It's a Unity-based game.
Okay.
It's a toddler app.
You're trying to keep under wraps, not
no.
make sure no one
no,
buys it.
No, because we confessed. I confessed a couple weeks ago that it finally got published, and so.
Okay. Don't tell anyone. This might get out, and people might buy this game.
For free. no, so yeah, it's a small toddler game, and it was meant initially to be joined with a website, and the website, unfortunately, website didn't make it, because those developers were not as
talented
as me.
Yeah, it's funny.
And I don't even know what the reasons are, but they're just like, yeah, let's not worry about the web app. And then now that we're done with this game, they're like, oh, what about that web app? Because the website might be up soon. And it's like, wait a minute. We didn't
you know, like halfway through our development, we didn't, we kind of canned that, but at one point, the nice thing with Unity is I may be able to publish a web app without any qualm, you know, without any differences to the original game and not have to do anything other than just export it differently, you know.
Absolutely. And that's, so, I mean, that's still,
that's huge.
That's still why Flash is around. It's a platform that you can still publish to the web and mobile. But
that's only recently that you could publish to mobile with Flash.
Recently in,
I mean, like
the last 4 years. I mean, Air for Flash.
Oh, you're talking about using the Air, the Adobe Air wrapper.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can publish to Flash or publish to, to mobile.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't say the only way. That's the only way Adobe supports is the Air wrapper.
Oh, okay.
There's actually a company called Scaleform.
Isn't that Autodesk?
Autodesk. Yeah, Autodesk bought them, and they do all the, they do the UIs for a lot of the big games. So
right.
StarCraft, all the UI is done in Flash, exported through Scaleform. What they do is they turn all the vector art into high-performance graphics for the GPU.
Interesting.
And so they've released now a mobile-only version that you can publish your Flash application just through Scaleform directly to mobile without one of these big 3D gaming engines attached.
Oh, that's nice.
So there, I mean, Flash still has a strong story if Adobe can figure out how to monetize that. But it doesn't look like that's their interest. They want to invest in the future, which is
well, it's interesting. Last week we had Clark Stacey on, and he was telling us, you know, their game is in Flash. It's a Animal Jam.
Yep.
It's in Flash, and it's like, well, when do you change? He's like, I've got this in the U.S., but he's like, I've got it in so many other countries, and Flash is not going away for those because technologically they're behind us a lot, and so they'll be hanging out on Flash for quite a while.
And technologically, HTML5 isn't there yet. Yes. WebGL is not a solid standard. I mean, that can be argued, but it's not available on mobile.
It's not standard.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
Good point.
When was that introduced? Like, I love how long that conversation, like, HTML5 is going to be so amazing, but everyone is so skittish about it at the same time.
Well, and
the technology's not there. It's so complicated to make stuff with H5.
The promise of HTML5 is that there is a lot of money and a lot of big players that are pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're unified for the first time. It's not Adobe doing Flash and this company doing this and this
Silverlight.
It's Microsoft and is finally trying to work towards standards in their browser, and Google and Adobe.
So they could send that celebrate.
I'm glad that's
so
in there.
True. So true. You almost said it without laughing. Yeah. So close.
I was good.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I almost muscled my way through that one.
So it was good.
Anyway, everyone's pushing towards it. So it's got more momentum, I think, than any technology has previously.
True.
But as far as where it's at today, or even how fast it can get to where games need it to be,
mm-hmm.
is very much up in the air. And I think things could change quickly if players got involved and decided that the web was a viable platform for games as well. But to date, it hasn't happened, and I don't think it can happen until you solve the same problem that Flash has had, which is getting the gaming technologies performant on the mobile phones.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going back a little bit, but this is an article that I came across. I thought it was pretty funny. So, you know what Scribblenauts is? You guys mm-hmm. familiar mm-hmm. with Scribblenauts, yep. right?
The memes.
So, you saw the memes? You saw this article?
The what?
I read this earlier
today. Cat memes. It's awesome.
But it's really interesting. So, basically, Nyan Cat and Keyboard Cat appear as references in Scribblenauts, right?
So you can type in keyboard cat and keyboard cat shows up.
Kind of.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does.
Okay.
Oh,
now,
gosh.
Now, that's not the interesting part. Okay. That was.
Yes, it is. No, it's
not. Now, okay. You can't.
That is a interesting
Spencer's
part.
Spencer's mind
that's
is
not,
somewhere else.
That's not the interesting part. The more interesting part is that the creators of Keyboard Cat and Nyan Cat have filed a lawsuit against Scribblenauts for the use of those in Scribblenauts.
Oh, you've got to be.
That's the more interesting thing. And that's what I wanted to talk to Tyler about.
Some of the interesting parts in that article is that they reference Warner Brothers logo with the WB and the shield as a meme, and that they, that Warner Brothers goes after and, you know, would totally protect that, protect their IP.
Right.
And, it's not interesting to read some of the comments. People are, corporate logos and memes are not the same thing.
Yeah, they're not.
you can't protect memes anyway.
You mad, bro.
What I found funny, and this is actually what I want to talk to you about a little bit.
Gamasutra, right?
There's several. This is on Joystick right here. But, I mean, there's a ton of articles on this now. But the complaint filed on April 22nd alleges that developer Fifth Cell did not seek permission to include either copyrighted character in their published products or related promotional material. However, this isn't the original article I read. I believe, and I have to find the thing, that it was filed after Scribblenauts came out.
Okay.
I believe that the trademark was filed after Scribblenauts was made.
Oh, the trademark.
They went and trademarked or filed a claim for the trademark of Nyan Cat and Keyboard Cat, right?
Uh-huh.
I believe it's trademark, or is that a different term?
I hadn't actually read anything about trademark at all. The source I got was Gamasutra, and they exclusively call it a meme. And
okay.
Even in their own language. So I don't even know if you can.
Well, this is the official thing says.
Even copyright a meme.
This is the plaintiff. Plaintiffs claim that Warner Brothers and Fifth Cell's trademark infringement was willful and intentional and are requesting an award of treble damages and requesting the case be deemed exception under 15 U.S.C. I don't know that symbol, 1117. Thereby entitling plaintiffs to an award of reasonable attorney's fees. Intellectual Property Focus Attorney Blog, Milford & Associates Notes.
Damages plus interest.
Yes.
Damages? Damage. I wish I could, like, vocally say how my eyes are rolling so hard.
Keyboard Cat has appeared in every series entry to date, while Nyan Cat's more recent, only appearing in Scribblenauts Unlimited.
Well, and this is something that he says. Well, the memes have been viewed tens of millions of times. The quote, that popularity makes them extremely valuable for commercial uses. Unlike WB and Fifth, many other companies respecting plaintiffs' intellectual property rights regularly pay substantial license fees to use plaintiffs' memes.
Now, this is interesting.
The complaint reads.
One, is it legal for them to use it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it ethical for them to use it? I don't know. Are you using...
Use an image of Barack Obama? Like, I'm not sure how...
That's what I'm saying.
Something we were talking about before with the...
That's what I thought it was.
If you write President in Scribblenauts and Barack Obama shows up, do you have to pay Barack Obama royalty fees for his image?
I think it's different because he's a public image. He's a public figure.
Well, then case closed. Nyan Cat is a public
figure. It's a person, not meme.
That seems like an easy fight to say that's a parody. Because it's not a direct picture of the Nyan Cat, right?
It looks like that.
That could be a parody. It's not dead on.
But this is where the legal grounds will come up, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Okay, but the interesting part... Yeah, that's... There you go.
Yeah, the same thing.
What I'm saying is, like, this law, I don't think it's clear at all. Okay, and the thing is, the more that we get into this kind of stuff, like, as far as, you know, trademark law or all these things, like, new law seems to be written, like differently a lot.
Well, it's
written and then it's changed, and then this is the exception to this rule.
Yeah, yeah.
That this is okay, and this is not okay, and this isn't. You know what I'm saying?
This is a big question mark. I don't know.
That's a very interesting question. I'm wondering if it goes similar to what Dr. Allheiser has written his thesis on.
As we speak in the graduation ceremony.
Cool. His doctorate?
Yeah.
No, it's tomorrow.
Well, yeah, there's a commencement tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, his thesis is on based on issues that happened in Blizzard and World of Warcraft, where you had tools to create your own, you know, different features or different little gadgets in the game, and the way that the copyright law and the legal system is built in the U.S., the first step is to cease and desist and sue the pants off the person.
Not sue the pants. It's to send a cease and desist order.
It's to threat.
It's to threaten and warn. And by doing that, they come to the table, they threaten, warn, they say cease and desist, get rid of your widget, But then they take it and then they put it in the next build and say, hey, look at this. We really know a cool feature that we came up with. Because technically they could, based on the legal laws. And his suggestion is, our legal structure is such that this is a really bad way of taking care of this, where if both people could come to the table and have some negotiation and some mediation where I say, hey, we really like this, what you added to our game, and we'll, you know, kind of either license it or do something. And it's kind of the same thing where instead of them saying, hey, we'd really like, you know, I saw your, it's in our game, we'd really like you to pay us, you know, either a licensing fee or something, as opposed to their only option is to sue them and cease and
desist. Well, not only that, but like, I mean, the initial creation of like copyright acts and that kind of thing was not a combative environment.
Right.
It was a creative environment. It was to foster creation,
yeah,
not to limit it. But it's been so perverted over the past, you know, however many years, 100 years, 100 to sure, almost, you know, however long Disney's held Mickey's copyright. Okay. But, because, I mean, you know about that, right? Like, it extends another year every year.
It's
supposed to expire because Disney won't let it die.
Yeah, yep. And they'll make and sure so, the legislation.
The Disney company is single-handedly destroying copyright laws.
I would not disagree with that statement.
But what you call it? Which it's, I find it interesting that we've perverted it to this kind of thing. It's like, I created something new and I reference your stuff. Okay. The success of Scribblenauts is not dependent upon Keyboard Cat and Nyan Cat being in there.
No, not at all.
You see what I'm saying?
It is a wonderful Easter egg that does nothing but go, Nyan Cat? What is Nyan Cat? Oh my gosh, this is
I can't believe that's it.
Yeah. Or you get excited and you geek out and you feel both compelled to experience this and that.
And so I just don't understand how that's always a...
Then if the plaintiffs are seeking judgment for damages plus interest, but the damages are actually... in the negative because they're encouraging people to enjoy.
That's what I think is so
plaintiffs will have to
But wouldn't it be interesting?
The plaintiffs would have to be. Oh, wouldn't that be an interesting?
I would love if there was a negative the repercussion damages. For if you sue somebody and you lose, you owe them that which you seek.
But even it's like, you know what, we find that
rather than random, so giving more gambling.
Wouldn't you question your lawsuit a little bit, going, hey, I'm not on solid ground here.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm wasting the court's time, I'm wasting people's time, I'm wasting all kinds of...
There's a reason why that doesn't exist, though, because then you have Apple, it's just like, I have billions.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but like they'll still lose, and you know, you can't go forever.
I guess.
Okay. Yeah. You know, this whole thing with Samsung and Apple for the past, however many years... You know, there was a judge, like, I think it was in Miami.
So he was
just a little while ago. I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. I think Apple and Samsung wanted, like, to come to the table and have a negotiation about all the, like, many different litigations they're putting against each other. It's like, we want to be able to assemble this in a more proper way. And he responded, I gotta go find the article, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but he responded, he's like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Okay. And we're not gonna waste the court's time. Yeah. Organizing the stuff that you screwed up.
Yeah. Quote. This is a
This is direct exact, quote. This is direct quote. No, but this is
translated. It's actually close.
It was really close. I showed it to Spencer.
Dumbest thing ever, guys.
This is the dumbest thing ever. It was an official judge, I think. You know?
Yeah. But and this then really was going, a thing. And then you started going, yeah.
No, but really, he was just, I need to find that article. I'm sorry I don't have it handy. But like, he just came out and was just like, this is stupid. You know, you're wasting the court's time. You're wasting everybody's time. Knock it off.
Yes. Well, there's a... It's so funny because there's a game, and I would love to find out on Adult Swim called Burrito Bison, where one of the special pickups turns you into a Nyan Cat, and you play as a Nyan Cat, and you're basically like a turbo rocket when you put it on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like there's no question. I mean, you hear the Nyan Cat music playing when you activate it.
But then again, Burrito Bison isn't a AAA game.
Apparently not. However, it's like,
you see what I'm saying?
But that's also the difference. But it's also got like millions of hits on Adult Swim.
Unless they are one of the ones who are playing significant licensing fees.
And that's very possible. But, you know, Adult Swim actually has a very big following, and there's a lot of hits on that. And I would wager to say there's over a million on that game. I mean, I would consider that significant. But so, I like the idea that they go, you know what, we'll find in the favor of the plaintiff, and we realize that it actually added value to your brand. So damages are in the negative, and so you owe him for your whining and bickering. That would be so awesome.
Aside from taking the five individuals in this room and going to appeal at the White House for changes. What are some of the takeaways serious. What are some of the things that this audience who's listening to the podcast should understand? My wife as well. She said she'd listen.
Oh, good.
Make her some popcorn. Make it worth it. What's that?
We got one more.
Doubled our listenership.
We doubled our
listenership. Nice work.
All right. So what should we do? How do we? What's our response?
What would be the takeaway? And the reason I bring that up is I'm building a game with mechanics that are similar to Tetris.
Yeah, I saw that your Hex game.
And I've been very careful about that. I've tried to make it as different as possible. I wanted to keep some of the classic gameplay of the Fallen Block gameplay as part of that, just because it's a classic. It's been around. There's other games besides Tetris that have similar gameplays, and so I want to try to appeal to the same audience, but without infringement or. And Tetris has been more aggressive in their in holding their copyrights and whatnot as well. And so I'd read about like 9 different games that were removed from the Android marketplace, is what it used to be called, back earlier on when and Google stopped, you know, closed down the games. And there was still a few games that were on there that were Tetris games, but that wasn't part of one of the lists that the cease and desist came through. And so anyway, so I was thinking of naming the game Hextris, and named it Hexlock, just, you know, make sure that there's no tie-in. And there's some other games that are called Hextris anyway, so. Yeah.
I think I've actually seen a Hex.
As much as I can to play on the safe side.
A Hex Tetris. Or a Tetris game with hexagons long ago.
It's not as awesome as Hexlock.
No, I know it isn't. I've just seen.
Just telling you, everyone does it wrong. They put the.
Well,
this is my little plug for my.
Shameless plug.
It's not shameless at all. Oh wait, yes.
Yes, it's shameless.
Shameless. There's no shame in it at all. Yeah, there you go.
You're not. Okay, keep going.
He's a developer. He's not an English major.
Okay. I just know that every time anyone brings up anything in a podcast or an interview or anything, it's always shameless plug. So I was trying to deviate somehow, but it didn't work.
It's not a shameful plug.
It is not. No, that's a better. Okay. There's my deviation.
There you go.
I don't want to infringe on whoever made the first statement of shameless plug.
You might get sued.
Who knows?
Who knows?
For I said you're bad, bros.
For defamation of shame.
Happy birthday on the podcast. Anyway, anyhow.
It's true.
So every Hex, like Hextris or Hexagon-based Tetris or Fallen Block game that I've seen is always in a square box. They try to fit the hexagon shape in your rectangle box.
Yeah.
And so mine's very different in that it's actually a hexagon that you're falling in, and it's a beautiful thing. It's been a little bit harder for people to get used to, though, so that's part of my redesign.
Dude, that's 3 more sides than I have to deal with.
Very awesome.
That's a big deal.
I found the quote.
What does it say?
Sorry. Okay, so can I read?
Does it use the word dumb?
No.
Sorry. I don't want to hear it.
So this is on Bloomberg, actually. The parties have no interest in it. This is between Apple Inc. and Google Inc. I was incorrect. Not Samsung. It's Google. I got the original from Engadget, and they said Samsung, and then they correct themselves. Anyway, this is Judge Bloomberg. No, not Judge Bloomberg. This is U.S. District Judge Robert Scola in Miami. He says, the parties have no interest in efficiently and expeditiously resolving this dispute. They instead are using this and similar litigation worldwide as a business strategy that appears to have no end. That is not a proper use of this court. Without a hint of irony, the parties now ask the court to mop up a mess they made by holding a hearing to reduce the size and complexity of the case. The court declines this invitation. So we stop wasting the court's time. And anything, I added stupid.
I didn't hear the word dumb or stupid or idiots or anything.
It's a little more official than that, maybe.
There's a PS, you're all poo-poo heads.
And that was written on the napkin. It was, you know, in the, you know, response. But I'm just saying, it's just like...
Well, even the courts are getting tired.
But he does does call the company's actions obstreperous and cantankerous conduct.
That's as close as
I know. That's
as close as you're going to get to poo-poo.
I know. There's more to that quote.
What's that first word? Obstreperous?
Obstreperous. I don't know that word right
Google
in the middle.
Google it.
Google that puppy.
But
Tyler, that's a valid point. And I mean it's fun to to kind of soapbox ourselves around here, but how does this affect what we're doing?
Real world.
Yeah.
And even back on some other topics like the piracy that we were talking about earlier, there's
Game Dev Tycoon.
Yep, Game Dev.
Oh, wait, yes.
We hadn't actually talked about
that. Yeah. Let's talk about it. This is a really interesting thing.
Should we go ahead?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jake, tell us the story.
Well, Game Dev Tycoon was I think it was released by Gearbox, is that right? Or who actually released
Game Dev Tycoon? No, it was an independent studio. Yes.
Okay.
It was two brothers.
It was just an independent studio who was planning on making a game and released this game as a cracked version on the web. And it was, the download version said free, so full working copy, that kind of thing. It was not actually a full version.
They leaked it to BitTorrent sites.
Yeah. Right. So they leaked it on purpose. And the argument is whether or not, like, the difference is between moral and legal, piracy. Where most people can agree that, like, if you download something that says free leaked version without the intention to pay, morally, there's really no question. That's piracy, right? It was obviously intentional.
Whether it being good or bad, it's at least officially piracy.
Right, right. Now, the more interesting question is the legal ramifications of that. Is can you count something being piracy if you technically gave it out for free, regardless of whether or not, it was, if you are giving something for free, there is an intention and an implied distribution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of the product, right?
No,
so
are
you able to claim damages or anything? Now, the company has since admitted that they have not actually,
they never intended
to claim damages. Yes. They kind of did it as almost a critique on piracy and
to me, the funnest part of the story is that Game Dev Tycoon, you actually play as a game development studio.
Yes.
And so the people who were playing this pirated version, they had, they were playing the full featured game, for a few hours until, your boss comes to you and pops up this gives you the next message and he says, sorry, we're, having piracy issues and we are going to go bankrupt or something. We won't be able to sustain.
Well, it completely simulates piracy. It's really interesting. Like that pop-up does come up, but like, okay, I played the demo this morning. I haven't bought the game. I didn't have time, but, I just was like,
is this the BitTorrent demo or the,
the demo, the official demo release. I read the article on their site and they actually linked to their demo. So I was like, oh, I'll play this for a bit.
Absolutely.
You can only go 5 years on the demo. And, you're paid, like it's a sustainable, it's a simulator. So you're sustained by your game releases and you paid, according to how, your game scores and how much it sells.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that money immediately as it sells. The pirated version, it's really funny, but you see that your sales bar, you get these huge numbers that the better game that you made, the less money, like it just goes, we had this many copies pirated. And this is how much money you made.
Excellent.
A huge bunch of pirate. And then it does the numbers. Essentially, it tells you this is how much you would have sold if it wasn't pirated. But
what's cooler than a simulation about a game development studio in a game?
Yeah.
About people who are and then giving it to people who are pirating.
But what made me laugh more was the people, the forums coming up going, hey, I can't deal with piracy on this game. There's too many.
I can't deal with piracy on this cracked version.
No, it wasn't that. It was it was the people.
They didn't realize it was only their version.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how are you guys dealing with the piracy? I just can't figure out how to overcome.
Classic.
It was so damn
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like.
So the article below, it mentioned that maybe the cracked version was more true to real life, but it wasn't as fun to play. So
sure, yeah.
You gotta take that
absolutely.
But they had even made a comment about they had sold less than 300 copies the first day to actual paying customers, but over 3,000 were pirated or something like that.
It was,
an 90%
number.
More. Yeah, exactly. It was very sad statistic to actually see that what was happening in game was really close to real life. I had no idea what any statistics were like with piracy, but that was very
eye opening
for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because of the number of arguments we have. It's like piracy is a victimless crime. You know, especially the amount of, oh, well, I wouldn't have bought it anyway, so I'll just pirate it. Or, you know, that you weren't going to get any money from me anyway, so I might as well take it.
Might as well.
You know, you can make as many copies as you want, so it doesn't matter that I take this one. You know? Mm. It's just that the number of arguments I've read.
Has that been the rationalization?
There's so many. Like, every time you get into these conversations, it's like, because, like, you know, the metaphorical argument comes back. It's like, you wouldn't steal a car, right? But it's not a car. You can just make another one. It's like, sure, but I didn't get any money from the one that you just took.
And you're fully enjoying the benefits of something without
exactly
to pay for. Now, if you made a copy and then never used it, then I can see that argument being somewhat justifiable. Yeah. Oh, I just made a copy. It didn't cost you anything, but then I didn't gain any benefit out of it, which would be not – it would be completely against the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
Well, but it's just – I don't know. These conversations – because I've gotten – especially online, a lot of these conversations. You get online, you get a lot more honest conversations, whether or not that's good or not. Like, you know, if you can stand the amount of things that are thrown at you back and forth, you get into a lot of really honest conversations about – especially piracy, because people are, like, blatantly honest about, oh, I pirate all this kind of stuff. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. You can't touch me, right, which is fine. But at the same time, you get this feeling that I do it, but it's not affecting anybody. You know, it's just affecting me. It's no big deal. But people, especially games that people like and they want, you completely understand why bigger developers are trying these DRM kind of things, are trying anything to keep their stuff locked down because it's gone.
Well, and it's driving other models. So people who complain about free-to-play, they can just look back at the piracy and say, well, is there, you know, is that in some way driven by anything that I've done?
Absolutely.
I mean,
And I would hope not. I think a lot of people who complain about free to play are the other game developers. Not so much pirates, maybe.
No, I think, well, it's so funny how one time one of the IGDA events, Zynga was there earlier on campus. And we had an IGDA. Were you there? Do you remember that?
I wasn't, but Zynga's so unpopular.
And so Zynga came and they talked to a whole bunch of computer science students and they bought like 50 pizzas and we had a whole bunch left over. And I was like, shoot, I'm going to take this so we can have some food at the IGDA meeting. And so I brought it. And so like, oh my gosh, who brought all this pizza? I was like, oh yeah, Zynga. And they're like, I'm not eating it. Refused to eat the pizza.
Free pizza
because Zynga paid for it.
That's right? Dirty money.
Pizza right there.
Came from the manure of Farmville.
Gosh.
Yeah, no, and it's super interesting how certain game developers really abhor.
Abhor.
Well, I mean, that's right. Right now, it's more applicable than anything. I'm very, as much as everyone likes Phil Fish, I'm very, very anti Phil Fish.
I don't.
And well, does, I don't. I
does
don't.
Anybody not? Does
I think everyone?
I think it's actually the reverse.
In this area, everyone's gonna be anti Phil Fish, right?
Right.
And so, you know, Fez just came out and all that wonderful stuff. I refuse to buy it. I think it's a great game. I'm not going to buy that game. Personally, I cannot support someone like that.
Hmm.
And the same idea with Zynga. I'd be one of those type of people. I wouldn't do it for Zynga because I don't really care that much. But, I mean, I'm also a respect buyer.
If Phil Fish bought a pizza and then somebody else brought it to you, would you eat that pizza?
I would send it to, like, I'd probably send it back to him. Be like, really, dude?
if it was on fire, would you pee on it to put it out?
If Phil Fish was on fire, I wouldn't kill the human being. No.
Okay.
It's more. I don't know.
I just don't respect the person. So yeah. I believe the reason why I buy games is out of respect. I respect them, so I'll do this. So like when
have a lot of insight into a lot of big companies.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So the whole game dev concept of this whole weird piracy thing. I bought that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'll play it. I respect it.
It's a fun game.
Same for, like, by the way. And like these new kind of games out there. I respect, so I buy. And I also disrespect, so I don't buy. So I think that's
I just respect them.
He just games. Oh, God. They just sit there. But
about 5 or 10 games. That,
if I had the funds.
My Steam store. Plastic. Steam oh, gosh, the Steam box.
Ready to be respected. I mean, played.
I think there's a lot of people out there that do the same thing that I do. If I think you deserve my money, so here's
I'll tell you, though, like if you have a store in the game story.
Kickstarter.
So, yeah. You ever heard of the game story?
Yeah, yeah. I love
I forget the name of it. Cairo. I loved that game. And this one is very similar as far as you start out as a solo developer, and so you're sitting in a garage. It's got a DeLorean in it.
Oh, funny.
It's like in the 80s. It's so cool. Like I said, it's a DeLorean in like covered. You know, you can see the front of it and it looks just right out of Back to the Future, you know?
That's great.
And it made me laugh a lot.
They should probably sue on that.
Absolutely, without a
It's got a cover on it. You can't tell exactly what it is. It could just be the corner of it.
We're talking about the cover company. Should
oh, the cover? Yeah, yeah, definitely. Sure. That's a cover. Copyrighted.
Cover Co.
But what I'm saying is that, like, if that game was on mobile, I'd buy it immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. But because it's on PC, I was like, It's a quick fix kind of game, at least for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I could pause it on my mobile and take it with me and pick it out again, you know, that's why I loved Game Dev Story, because I made a ton of games, quote unquote, on that one. But
it's too much time on that thing.
I'm not gonna sit on my PC to do it.
Aerobic Ninja game, by the way, great combo. No, and I think something that's
I had a really Checkers Dance game that was awesome.
Checkers Dance,
it didn't work at all.
putting Ninja on anything was just well, like
once you get your dev team to a certain point in that game, you can do absolutely anything.
Yeah.
It can be bonkers.
Yeah.
I'm doing a racing chess game. All tens.
I think a really interesting moral question to this is, isn't this just a ripoff of Game Dev Story?
Now, that's an interesting thing.
I think it's an interesting moral question that, like, yeah, let's bring up issues of moral questions about piracy, but
I think
are you okay, a clone? So are you just a clone?
Is this clone complaint about, hey, you're stealing from us?
Yeah.
We stole from someone else.
Is that like saying, is this another action movie?
Yeah, you can't trademark a premise.
I know, but
yeah.
Is this another story about guy falls in love with girl?
Yeah.
And
so how much?
Tell me if you heard this.
Because I want to copyright that.
No. How many games do you know about that simulates how a game development studio works and develops games?
Two now. And I think it's a great premise, but I agree you can't copyright a premise. Well, if I have a story about a kid who walks through this unknown land and gets eaten by spiders, then it's very similar to Limbo in some ways, but
what movie is that?
No, not movie.
Or if I want to play Tropico, it's very similar to SimCity.
So I would say just based on the premise, no infringement. But because the premise is the same, you'd want to compare the two and see how similar they are in gameplay.
Their functions are different. Like it's the way it's that they've designed it. It's very different.
It's not Tiny Tower and then.
Let me put it this way. It's not a Zynga clone.
Okay. Yeah. Because that was the next question is, you know, the EA litigation that was trying to go towards Zynga with Sims and the Bill. Was that
Yeah.
And they were just like, it's the same damn images. You know, like, you guys,
this is that.
This is that. It was so similar. And I clone's another really sticky situation.
Well, I mean, because how many mechanics were copied off of Call of Duty after the Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare released the perks system, you know, which was new to shooters. It hadn't really been touched before, you know, kill streaks and all these things. Suddenly,
unlocking weapons.
Exactly. It's like this had never been done.
Common to every mobile free to play game, but new to shooters.
Exactly. Okay. Well, this was a few years ago. This is before the mobile market really took off.
Call of Duty 4?
Yeah. Modern Warfare, I think, came out 2000. No, not even 2000. Yeah, 2000 something. 2000.
Call of Duty 4 was in
Call of Duty 4.
Early 2000s?
No, it was like 2005.
Did Call of Duty 5? 4 have the achievements? It was Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Xbox already had achievements. Like, the Xbox came out with achievements before PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, they were released before PlayStation, but I don't remember. Well, about 10 years ago. So, 2003-ish. Wow.
Okay.
Okay. And so that was before, like, there mobile was smartphones were around, but they weren't as widely accepted, I think, as they are now. pretty sure.
No, I'll concur.
You were still the cool kid if you had a smartphone.
Yes, exactly. Right. So now you're the weird one if you don't. But that's what I'm saying. Is like they did that. As soon as they did that, it's been a staple in shooters ever since. Yeah. Now, was that? It's not breaking a copyright. That's just using inspiration. That's a great system. We're going to use something similar.
Yeah.
We're going to call it different. We'll implement it slightly different, but we're still going to use it.
Ah, yeah. That's fair. I'll give you that one.
I don't know.
Just that one.
I do. Not, you know, stepping out of the legal side of things, yeah. I do appreciate the most when people, coming from the guy who's building Hex Locked, a falling block game, I do appreciate the most when people, when game designers have a high amount of creativity and build on something completely new that's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
However, you'll never or rarely see that on AAA. Anyways, AAA can't
gotta be safe.
So they have to actually measure what out there is doing well, and that they take those and implement them in a better way, or try to add better graphics or cooler guns.
Did you guys see Far Cry 3's new DLC?
Oh, Blood Diamond?
Blood Dragon?
Blood Dragon.
Is it Blood Dragon? Dragon?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this.
Tell me about it.
The tutorial is epic. It plops you down. You're like pseudo cyborg or something like that.
So you're cyborg commando. Okay. You played Far Cry 3?
It's all done in the 80s super retro style.
Okay,
super
before we get into it. Okay, yeah. Far Cry 3 was a great game released this past
year.
Past year?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was 2012. Okay. It was excellent. It was very open world-ish. You had a lot of freedom to approach objectives and kind of do whatever you wanted. But it ended not as a sequel-ish kind of game. You couldn't really sequelize it.
Yeah.
Okay. So instead, they released Blood Dragon, which is
this. I just saw the tutorial. Like it's super ridiculous. Your knife is like neon glowing. You know, I mean, it's really silly. But you get
Far Cry 3, the amazing visuals, 3D world.
Punch a bear because it's
fun. As an 80s action cyborg commando movie.
Yeah.
Pixel.
Yeah. Well, I think the
it's not pixel graphics.
No, not pixel. Oh, okay.
It's super clean. It's super pretty.
80s neon and
it's really the style. Well,
yeah. Everything you thought was cool in the 80s is in this game.
He does.
He's got that kind of a look to him. He's got a cyborg arm that he flips somebody off with. Like he's, you know,
he could have fit in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the coolest part, I think, about the whole thing is the way it was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
It was on April Fool's Day.
Yes.
They released was it really?
The information, and it was on. So they had this website that was just up.
Oh, it's so terrible.
That linked from the Far Cry site. It was done like how it's websites got, were first made.
It's got like 300 GIFs on it with flashing lights.
I never saw
beautiful.
That.
It was so good.
The store is terrible.
And then they said, it had this little trailer for this thing coming out. We're like, that was the coolest April Fool's
ever. It was a trailer
and
for
then all
a
of sudden,
movie.
Next week, it gave us a due date. And we're like, wait, this is
real? It's a real thing?
It just exploded. I think it's...
I want to play it, and it's standalone. You don't have to buy Far Cry to play it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It's a $15 standalone game.
I might snag that.
I know. That's I'm like, oh,
I want to talk about the tutorial.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because what's funny is you get plopped down, and all of a sudden a window pops up, and it has like an OK button, and it says, you are now in a game, and you click OK. And then you hear a voiceover, and it's like, you're unable to move until you have learned the tutorial. And your guy goes, I hate tutorials. This sucks. Are you kidding me? And then another window pops up, freezes play, and another one. It is the worst tutorial. And so like, the least amount of information on this big old fat box pops up, and it says, you can look around by looking around. Click OK. And then you have to look around for it to continue to the next window, which is, you can jump by jumping. And then you have to push the button to jump. And then...
That is classic.
And the guy's like, I just want to kill people. Stop.
Oh, my gosh.
And like, you're about to come up to a guy and you're going to kill him. And it freezes the whole gameplay. And it's like, you could push this button to do this type of kill. And then you walk a little closer. And it's like, remember this type button to kill.
Oh, that's
and you're like,
awesome.
Okay, I get it. You know? And it is, and then right near the end, it pops up like 20
things, and then it says all of these. This tutorial was brought to you by Fake Name Soft Incorporated, and then a couple more later, it's like if you're tired of all these tutorials popping up, you need to upgrade to the premium version of the tutorial. And I'm like, no, you guys did it. That was just it was so great. And then finally, you click a couple more times and it's over. But the whole time the guy's just making comments about how this is absolutely ridiculous. This tutorial sucks.
I hope this game does better than Far Cry.
I
love character in games. It's just so few games do that.
And he was just your character's livid. You're livid. But you're laughing the whole time because you're like, oh, you guys.
This game feels like what Duke Nukem should have been.
Oh, that's a.
You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Like, everything I heard about, I was like, this is very, it's very out of a certain era. It emulates all these different things. Want to make fun of games? What a great way to enter. Can you imagine Duke sitting there and that's exactly what he's responding to whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what this whole thing feels like. And I was like, man, I hope Gearbox is watching because you want to do another one. Good. This is what it is.
I hope it does really well. That would be great.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. On that note, I hope that we do well. Karate and I, here's one more confession from us. We're graduating tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Out into the big, wide world all on your own.
Unemployment. It's amazing. I love it.
How exciting.
I don't know if I should refer to who it is, because he is a person of important standing, but the description of the color from our college is Coop Brown, but he likes to say the S word when he describes it.
Good thing we've never sworn on this podcast.
Yeah. I know, right?
I don't want to cuss in front of Tyler.
No, I have.
I kind of said podcast damn earlier. For you. I kind of said damn earlier, didn't I? Yeah. We get to don our hoods of shit brown and graduate tomorrow, but the exciting day. Are you graduating too? No?
That's my confession, is that I am the only one I know. Everyone else finished up all their stuff. I'm a semester off.
Oh no!
Are
you going to walk anyway?
Just go up there and be like, screw it. Yeah, everyone I know is graduating right now, either from the MFA or BFA.
You know what? You think that's stupid?
It could totally happen.
You could totally walk. You could graduate from every college if you wanted to, because what you do is you write down what your major is, And you give a little card, and there's a box that's like half the card, and you can put whatever name you want in there, and they will read it. Guaranteed. And the reason I know this is I wrote Spencer Mario Buchanan. And so my undergraduate, I graduated as Spencer Mario Buchanan. And we're definitely, and this tomorrow, I commit to this, to the podcast, and here on this podcast, these five. I'm going to write Spencer Forseni Spenny.
Oh my gosh!
Which I'll tell you about the 4 centimeters joke because that is inappropriate for the podcast. But
Forseni Spenny.
Oh man!
The 4 centimeters has been running.
We'll see if they actually can pull it off.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I guarantee you, Forseni Spenny.
I want to see it.
Going to be graduating, and you could go walk in as long as you get a card and you wear the cap and gown. You could probably graduate and just say that you graduated with.
Are you going to need to have a pronunciation guide with there, or
you can spell it phonetically if you need to. I may do that just in case, but I challenge Karate to come up with something better than that.
I don't know if I can.
Oh no! Well, you could just do your full name.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
Whatever, I think you should do Brandon the Yellow Dart Karate.
Oh my gosh, the Yellow Dart.
That'd be pretty good.
So, goodness.
Karate Roo.
Yeah. No, oh gosh.
Andy Roo. Oh, I did it.
Oh, I want to put Andy Roo in there. That'd be karate. Awesome. Brandon, that's a whole Andy different. Roo, okay, we're getting inside joke territory. Our podcast is probably.
It's. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. We have shamelessly plugged Hex Locked.
And we'll have a link.
Gridlocked.
We'll have a link.
A link.
Up there on the podcast for you.
Yes. And you can also get a hold of us at Twitter at Game Dev Confess. Facebook
at Game Dev Confess.
No.
slash
Facebook.com/
It's not game.
It's game dev confess.
But you can't but say at game. There's no at symbol in the app.
There's no at
symbol. If someone's Facebook. Using Facebook and is putting at in there, they don't deserve to go.
You hear that, mom? Stop putting at in Facebook.
Jake, where can you get us on email?
It's gamedevconfess@gmail.com, right?
Nice.
Rock and on.
Tyler, what is our website that you can always find us at?
Gamedevconfess.com.
Oh, ooh, man! Nailed it!
Close. http://www.
To be part of the email address, too.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Or, if you have Windows 8, you can download Spencer Buchanan's very own app. It's free. Game Dev Confess podcast fan page.
It's pretty awesome.
I made it.
It's a fan page app.
It's a fan page app.
Yeah. It's a fan page about the Game Dev Confess.
It's a fan page made by the developers about the podcast.
Yeah.
Or is it?
It's the official. I wrote official fan page.
Nice.
Rather than an actual online fan page that is compatible across all of the devices.
No,
it's, dude, don't get me started about this. If you have Windows 8, just download the damn thing.
I hope it does something
spectacular. I need more than 2 hits, okay? Thanks,
and stop pirating his app, huh?
Yeah, stop pirating
that's right.
Stop pirating the Windows app.
Crying out loud. All right. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Jeez.